Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Quinn Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors have finally climbed back over 500. I know that's not the most impressive thing, but listen, the Raptors have had some troughs this season and they have gotten out of it. And they have defeated the Milwaukee Bucks by a score of 117 to 111. One thing that has been really important about the 500 mark is like, look, the Raptors aren't really trying to play for 500, but the one thing for this program that I've always maintained is we have to have some humility on this show. If you're under 500 and you beat somebody, you know, you shouldn't really be talking, right? Then that's how you look like finesses. But when you get over 500 and you beat an opponent, especially one like the Bucks, we have to have special moments to sort of commemorate these types of performances. So once again, we have the slander expert Asad coming in to discuss the Bucks, which Asad, I gotta say, this is becoming like an annual tradition for the Raptors. Whether the Raptors are good or bad, they're still gonna beat the Bucks, and we're still gonna have slander pods about the Bucks. So Asad, welcome back to the program. I appreciate your time.
Hello and welcome. Yes, shout out to the Bucks for being the Raptors break 500 team every year.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it. That was a good one, man. That was a good game.
Yeah, it was. And let's be real here. It wasn't good at the start of it. I didn't think we were going to do a slander pod at the start of it, man. Because look, the course of this game was all right. So around 2:30, we find out, okay, so Giannis he's out once again. This is the second straight game he's missed against the Raptors. And then they're missing a couple other guys as well. You kind of felt more confident in this game, but it just felt like the Bucks got everything they wanted, man. 77 points in the first half. They were nailing every single three. Man, Jordan Nwora was dancing on them. Sandro Momchilashvili was doing his thing. DeMarcus Cousins was dominating somehow. Then he got cut like during the game. But yeah, the Raptors went from giving up 77 points though in the first half, which is, you know, just tremendously bad defensively, to only giving up 11 in the third quarter. What do you think is the difference there? Is it just the case of the Raptors just turn on the switch?
I think it was twofold. One, the Raptors turned on the switch. Two, they got helped out by Milwaukee just going ice cold after basically using up all their threes in the first half.
Mm.
But yeah, it was like basically the Raptors started off this game slow. They looked tired. Like the starters didn't really look too zippy. They're making defensive mistakes all over the place. They go into halftime. The offense was cooking. The defense just wasn't there. They come back out of halftime and just tighten everything up. No more easy little turnovers. No more silly mistakes on defense. And they just like the end of the third and the start of that fourth quarter, they just put a stranglehold on the Bucks, which like where you just saw Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton just dribbling the ball off their foot like three possessions in a row. It was fantastic to see as a Raptor fan. And then sure, I'm gonna personally blame it on it being a back-to-back for what happened in the last 5 minutes of that game.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
But the Raptors showed what this team can kind of do and give you a glimpse of what this team's capable of when, you know, it actually all works. Is you get this and one of the plays I think was Pascal stealing a ball and breaking up a pass in the backcourt, throwing it up to Scotty, who takes one dribbles and throws up a lob for Precious on the fast break for a dunk. And that's just like, that's how quickly you can go from defense to offense with this many skilled dudes. And it was just all on display in that second half.
Yeah, I love that play too, you know, for multiple reasons. I think in the second half, like they started to send more hard traps, blitzes towards guys like Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. And I mean, you mentioned these guys turning it over. Jrue Holiday, 8 turnovers, Chris Middleton, 4 turnovers. Obviously, without Giannis, those are your main guys. I just got to say, I know it's the same for you, but every single time Chris Middleton dribbles in a crowd, like I get goosebumps over my body. Like it's like a doctor's got to study this phenomenon about Chris Middleton. And
Chris Middleton getting trapped on the same corner 3 plays in a row by Gary Trent and Fred VanVleet is just hell. Like, what is he supposed to do? He's like, I can barely dribble the ball as it is.
Yo, it's been 5 years of this. Like, it's 2022. All right, it's time for New Year's resolutions. And Chris Middleton, this is your fifth chance for a New Year's resolution to stop dribbling the ball around the Toronto Raptors guards.
Because even going back to 2017 when the Raptors beat the Bucks, that was what they were doing to Chris Middleton. They do this to him every single year. This man cannot dribble. This is not a joke. He could do a lot of things. He could flop for free throws. He could hit a lot of jumpers, which is great to see. You know, decent passer, I guess. Allowed to foul Pascal as many times as he wants and then complain about the call as well. But just stop dribbling around the Raptors. Anyway, that was a big part of the Raptors' defense. And I think, you know, sending those little blitzes, you know, realistically, without the threat of Cousins rolling in the second half, and to put the context here, so Cousins had a great first half, right? He finished with 15 points and 10 rebounds, three steals, a block. In 20 minutes, hit two threes, was awesome in the second quarter for Milwaukee. He didn't really play much in the second half, I was like, I'm not really sure what happened. And then as soon as the game ended, Shams tweeted that DeMarcus Cousins is going to get waived by the Bucks. So I don't know if they just decided to waive in the middle of the game and kind of undercut their own performance here. But without Cousins' ability to roll down the lane and how big of a target he is, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, let's trap. I mean, like, yeah, I think we could probably rotate and recover out to the rest of these guys. And that's exactly what happened. And I think, you know, some of that is obviously the Raptors' defensive intensity stepped up, but, you know, just some good adjustments by Nick Nurse as well. And knowing the fact that without Giannis on the team, there's going to be more limited playmaking when you have to get it all from Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton.
I'll be honest. I'm a little surprised about the DeMarcus Cousins thing too. Cause it's like, I don't know what happened there.
He was third best player in this game. I mean,
yikes. But again, before we get like too hard on the Bucks, like they are just like who's playing for them realistically. Right. Like they came out hot and then they cooled off very quickly. And it's just like, oh, we've got literally nobody guarding. Like Pascal Siakam was walking to the rim anytime he wanted to, more or less in the first half. And then, you know, that's when they started fouling him to keep him out of the paint. But otherwise, like it was really just a lot of this game was just like a parade into the paint. And then you drive and kick to whoever you want. And neither team has, like, if Bobby Portis is your best big at the end of the day, like, how far are you really going to get? Mm-hmm. So it's a shame that Giannis wasn't able to play tonight. Honestly, I would have liked to see what this Raptors defense could do against the Giannis. I think they would have probably got destroyed if they played like they did in the first half.
I mean, you can't give them more than 77 there. At some point, you just run out of possessions, you know?
I think, what did the Bucks get to? They get to like 47 in the first quarter or 42 in the first
42,
quarter.
42, yeah.
Yeah, that was a while. I'm like, man, there's a lot of time left in this half. And they're at like 50, 60, 70 already. I was like, oh, man, they might actually be able to get to 100 and a half. Like, it was getting kind of crazy at one point. But
yeah, I was going to say, Rodney Hood nailed two threes in that first shift. He checked into the game and nailed two threes. And I was like, I don't think he nailed two threes for the Raptors in Tampa, like in all of that season that he played with us.
How many games did he even end up playing? I think he played like maybe like three games and got injured. I thought he had like one good game and then he hurt his hip and he was done for the season.
I think he might've had like 11 points with a lot of free throws. And I was like, this is the answer the Raptors have been waiting for. Now they can go to the play-in tournament because they have help off the bench with Rodney. And it was like, yeah, they didn't have help off the bench with Rodney. I'm sorry, man. And look, for him, I mean, he cooled off after the first half as well. I mean, the whole Bucks team cooled off after the first half. They went for a 7-minute stretch to end the third quarter without a single field goal made. Like, that's how much the Raptors locked in. And I love the fact that the Raptors bench came in and also supported that effort. Like there wasn't a drop off with the bench in the second half. The first half, I would say the bench, you know, we're getting cooked a little bit. At one point, it was 25-3 in point differential, and I don't think it looked good in the finals tally either. The Bucks had 34 points off the bench. The Raptors had 15. Yikes. Yeah. Okay, so you know, 3-1 ratio is not great.
Something I was thinking about, and like I know we make a lot of the Raptors bench not performing well. And I think earlier in the season when the Raptors weren't healthy, it mattered a lot more because you really needed your bench to kind of support you because you're already playing your best bench players with the starters. Now I think like with the way that Nick's running his rotation where it's like six man and then Justin Champagne's the ninth, right? Like your bench guys are all support players, like truly just support players that are in for defensive versatility, right? Like you've got Ken Birch, Chris Boucher, yep, Precious Achiuwa, Justin Champagne. None of these guys are scorers. Like Chris Boucher is a scorer per se. He's like your one guy who can probably get you a bucket. But he's going to be someone who's going to score off of an advantage. Like he's not creating his own buckets.
Right.
None of these guys are going to create their own buckets. But what the Raptors have in their starting lineup is they have five guys, all five of them, including Scotty, who can become, can be high usage guys in any lineup. So if you have two of them playing in any hybrid bench lineup, what I think how the bench is basically set up is we're going to guard and rebound and basically play the spots to get like these guys their shots. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, this bench lineup is going to focus on OG carrying it. This one's going to focus on Pascal and Gary having a two-man game. This is going to be Scotty and Fred doing something. And I think that's a lot more interesting. That's how you're going to get like the Raptors top five guys having like 10 shots, 20, 15, 20 shots a game. So the offense should still flow correctly with the bench out there. But like just looking at bench points, like apple to apple, I don't think it's the same thing. Like, I think what we might need to start looking at is, like, are those hybrid lineups still performing? And the main thing that those hybrid lineups need to do is when the bench comes in to play defense. And that's what we saw in the second half is Precious Achiuwa and Chris Boucher, Ken Birch came in, and they played their tail off on defense and got stops, got into transition, pushed the ball, and then the Raptors were able to get going.
Yep. I agree with you completely. And also Justin Champagne, too, man. You got to give him credit. This guy came in, you know, early in the second quarter. Or midway through the second quarter, and I don't know if he was originally in the rotation. If he was, you know, the ninth guy in the rotation. But as soon as he came in, works the baseline for two short layups. Like, he just has a nose for the ball. Like, he's just like, you know, he sees Chris Boucher is battling for the rebound. And if Chris is going to win this rebound, someone's got to be under the rim to, like, win the tap out because he's not going to be able to land with the ball. And if you're going to stand, like, right under the basket there and the ball does get to you, you have a layup for yourself. It's just like those small little instincts for Champagne where he lingers. He just, like, makes sure he's in the dunker spot. And he gave the Raptors three layups off the bench. He had a plus 16. I mean, the defensive intensity in the second half was great. And I totally agree, man. I mean, Chris and Precious, the two of them combined as a combo, not so much in the first half because Cousins was just rolling down the lane and there was a lot of foul trouble and honestly, there was a play where Chris Boucher tried to stand in for a charge for DeMarcus Cousins, and I think Cousins, like, literally just trucked him, like, literally trucked him, man. Imagine a truck driving into a wooden picket fence. Like, that was kind of what it was. But second half, they were so great. And I got Precious. Like, again, like, I think people are always going to be focusing on, like, this guy just is allergic to layups, right? There was a play where he airballed a two-foot layup. And this was right after he nailed a three in a tie game. It was like, oh, what a great play by Precious. And then he airballs a layup. But at the same time, he gives you so much hustle and energy, man. Four offensive rebounds for eight rebounds in 16 minutes. The extra efforts there, you know, the speed in which he changes ends of the floor. So he's always finishing these plays.
And the biggest thing that Precious brings is something that neither Chris or, like, Ken Birch is a great like spot defender. He's able to make sure to rotate to his spots, but he's more of a traditional big rather than a switch all big. Precious truly can switch onto ones and have no issue. One of the biggest things was Precious in the second half, basically switching on to Jrue Holiday anytime there's a screen and just matching him step for step.
Right.
Which is massive. Like it's one of Precious's best abilities is his ability to stick with guards, especially quick guards, because he has great feet on the perimeter as a defender. And that's really what, like, when you get Precious in there, that's what he's in there for, is to be able to switch off and just basically give you like a wall to guard. And it's one of the things that I really enjoy watching is Precious gets in. I'm like, all right, let me see how he's guarding on switches. Mm-hmm. And that kind of tells you what type of Precious game you're going to get. Cause if he's staying with it, his feet are active, then all right, we got an engaged Precious Achiuwa. He's ready to play. If he's getting blown by, then it's like, all right, we might be in for a rough one.
Yeah. And right now, Kem, you know, it's sad to say really, but his mobility is just not there. I think coming off, you know, missing so much time with the knee soreness and knee swelling, I'm not sure if that knee's 100%, man. He doesn't look nearly as crisp as he did like in parts of, you know, last season, but also even at the start of this season. So hopefully he's there, but yeah, Precious, I think he did a really good job, but come on, man, we got to focus on the starters as well. So Pascal, 33 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block. Plus 11. The only thing he did wrong was miss some free throws at the end. But who cares? The Raptors were able to close it out anyway. I mean, everything's going for him right now. I think it's just like, it's so smooth watching him right now. He's getting, as you mentioned, downhill. His dribble is looking really sharp too. Whatever he needs at the mid-range shot is there for him. He's getting good elevation on that shot. He's, you know, he's even hitting the threes now too, right? Back-to-back games with 2 3-point makes. It's not the primary part of his game at all, but it's kind of like you know, just the extra on top. And the playmaking's there. The defense is there. Like, I don't know, man. Pascal is playing at an all-star level. Like, and, man, when he's playing like this, like, this team, like, you just have to think about the possibilities. They're like, okay, you know what? If this is that all-NBA level Pascal, which is exactly what we're seeing right now, then we have to reevaluate where we think the Raptors will be, you know, if they stay healthy for, let's say, the next 2 months, for example, you know?
Yeah. And listen, this is exactly what, like, at the beginning of the season when the Raptors were playing well, when it was just Fred, Scotty, and OG, and, like, Gary, and it was like, okay, this team has something to it, right? Let's just wait for Pascal to get healthy. I want to see what this team looks like with Pascal. And this is what everybody was waiting for, where it's like, you have surrounded Pascal with enough, like, that starting lineup. Like, the one thing about the starting lineup that is so beautiful is that Fred, Gary, and OG, they aren't just three-point shooters. They're, like, knockdown three-point shooters.
Yep. Yep.
You can't leave OG open for a second. You can't leave Fred open for a second. The Bucks were blitzing and trapping Fred from, like, the get-go today.
Yeah.
He got free for a couple catch and shoots, and he was on fire.
He wasn't even free, though. No. Hold on. He got, like maybe 6 inches. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, oh, he's free for, like, a half second from 30 feet, and he's just going to jack one. Like, and he's making those.
The thing is, if Fred's feet are already set before he catches it, it's done. It doesn't matter. Like, it's legitimately just automatic. It's quite beautiful to see. But the one thing with Pascal is, like, this entire starting lineup, the one thing that they're missing, and as good as Scotty is with the ball and as a playmaker in the middle of the floor, nobody on the team has the downhill speed that Pascal Siakam has.
Nobody.
And his ability to get a paint touch every single time he drives was the only thing needed to really unlock the starting lineup. And now you're seeing that, where he doesn't have to force anything. All Pascal has to do on a possession, he's like, all right, either I'm getting a one-on-one opportunity against a good matchup and I can take that. If I ever see help coming, I just got to kick the ball and start the rotations.
Yep.
And he's been so good as a playmaker and so good at picking those passes correctly and waiting for that help to overextend itself, or for the man to clear out of the paint, or for the low man to actually commit over to his side to then swing it to the other side. He's been so good at that. And now you're seeing, like, this is what happens with awards, because teams have to pick their poison. Are you going to send help to Pascal Siakam when he drives? Okay, then he's going to have 8 to 10 assists that night. And then OG's going to go off. OG is 4-7 for 3. Fred, 5 of 10 from three. And, like, when those guys are shooting like that, you just can't send the help to Pascal anymore. And then he's getting ISO'd on Jordan Nwora. He's getting that mismatch off a switch, and it's game over, right? He's spinning. He's going back to Pascal. Spin, boom, layup off the backboard, right? And that's what I think we were all waiting for. I think the one thing that's really nice about Pascal's game is he now has a face-up, like, mid-range jumper that's, like, it's just cash. He'll catch the ball. He'll turn out of the mid-post, jab step, and then just rise and fire without even taking a dribble. And that shot has become so makeable for him, where teams have to now extend out to the elbow and beyond to guard him, where it unlocks the rest of his game. And he looks amazing. And I don't know what else to say other than that he looks incredible. And I think as long as his team can stay healthy, that's a big if, and you're knocking on wood. I've always thought that this lineup, if it clicks right, there's no reason why these guys can't have similar success to that 2020 Raptor team. Of course, that team had, like, more veterans on it, more experience, but that's the kind of ceiling, and that's the type of template that the Raptors are kind of chasing, where you have this team-oriented offense where you have, like, 4 or 5 guys who can kill you on any possession, and you're playing solid, aggressive team defense, and you're just going 8 or 9 deep. And I think that's where the Raptors, like, I personally see them being a top 6 seed this season if they can stay healthy. I've maintained that that's the quality of the team. And now this is their chance to make that run. And I think the team themselves, from Fred to Pascal all the way down, it's very clear that they see this as this is their moment to make a playoff push and to get their seeding settled. And that's what they've been doing. It's been such a professional approach, and it's been refreshing to see, because, like, these guys have been young guys for the last, like, 3-4 years, and now they're basically acting like, you know, young vets. So just fantastic performance all around.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, that play you were talking about with Pascal when he was still by Nwora, when he just waited, and Rodney Hood was like, you know what, let me just try to get the 2.9 and see if I can dig in. And DeMarcus Cousins was like, all right, I'm going to wait here for 5 seconds. They're not going to call 3 seconds on me. They're about to wave me. The ref gave me 2 extra seconds. And then finally he leaves, and then Pascal's like, yeah. He's just smoked them. So great performance from just, you know, Pascal, from OG. We didn't even talk about the rest of the starters. So I think we're going to have to take a quick break right here and come back with more praise for the Raptors' performance. And also, look, man, we got to get into the Bucks as well, because it was also a pretty hilarious effort from them, between Chris Middleton's complaining, Bobby Portis just fouling nonstop, and even Drew Holiday with the 8 turnovers. So you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And when we come back, more on the Raptors win over the Milwaukee. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Lu. Continue to be joined by the Slanner expert, Asad, to discuss the Raptors 117-111 win over Milwaukee. So we already covered Pascal. We covered Fred. You know what? Let's talk just a little bit about OG, Scotty, Gary, and then let's move on to the actual Slanner portion, because between what the Bucks were doing and also what the refs were doing, I have many thoughts that I need to discuss with you. So, OG, let's start there. 22 points on 10 shots for OG Anunoby. Your impressions.
It's wild. Like, OG, like, and it's kind of a shame. Like, Fred and Pascal have been so hot, and they're so good at creating advantages that OG's kind of, like, become, like, a bit of a bit player with them. Mm. But he's so ridiculously efficient. And it's like, this is kind of like the perfect situation, right? Where it's like, now you have a three-headed monster, where Fred and Pascal are both legitimately good enough to score one-on-one, so you have to send them help. And then OG Anunoby is going to destroy any, like, if you put a weaker defender on OG Anunoby, he's going to destroy them. And if you leave him open, he's a knockdown shooter. And he found his stroke at the end of last night's game. Mm-hmm. And he comes in tonight and he's just automatic. And it's like, well, this becomes a serious problem, right? When you have OG, Pascal, and Fred cooking at the same time. So, like, OG, yep, for a lot of the game, I think in the second half, honestly, he did look a bit tired. I think OG, both games that he's played now, and I think he's played now three games since he's come back, right, from his the COVID, COVID so, protocols.
Yeah.
I personally have felt that he's looked a little bit gassed in all the games. Like, by the 5 or 6 minute mark of his stint, he looks tired. Mm-hmm. So I think there's still some conditioning stuff for OG to kind of get through. He's also been losing his balance a lot more, which was something that he wasn't doing early in the season.
Right.
And usually that's a legs thing, right? Like, if you don't have your legs when you're trying to post up, you're going to lose your balance a lot. And he's been having trouble kind of stopping a move. But I love what I saw from him today. Defensively, in the first half, OG and Pascal both got gas pretty quickly, and they were blowing coverages left and right. So I'll forgive that on the back-to-back. But hey, man, OG shooting like this and being like, him getting 22 points on 10 shots is insane.
Yeah.
Like, just casual.
Yeah, and I love, you know, when he starts to add, like, the driving element to his game, because two of the moves stand out to me from this game, in addition to the fact that, yeah, I mean, the shot looks so much better for him right now as compared to sort of when he first came back, like, 2-3 games ago. So there was a play in the first quarter where he posted up Wes Matthews. And look, it's not like Wes Matthews is a lockdown defender anymore. I don't think he ever really was a lockdown guy, but a pesky defender, you know, older guy, pretty built, pretty strong, not necessarily a mismatch, right? It's not like you're posting a guard, for example. Like, he's pretty strong. So OG keeps him in the post, and he shows the patience, and the Bucks get called for a 3-second violation. Gary goes to the free throw line, makes the free throw off the inbound. The Raptors go to that exact same play. OG pins Wes Matthews again. Posts him, gets deep into the lane, gets to a spot, and then forces the foul. And those are two of his 8 free throws for the game. That was great to see. And then in the third quarter, I'm not sure what the specific play was, but OG was driving, and he pulled out a spin move against Drew Holiday. And I guess the help at the rim just wasn't there, because he kind of, like, split two defenders almost. But one of those was Drew Holiday, who was, like, one of the best defenders in the world, although still not better than Fred, let's be real. And then OG was able to get to the layup, man. I mean, he was – I think that, and then even it felt like him, just along with everyone else, but him particularly, found this extra gear and of energy in the second half, because he was coming down with a lot of these key defensive rebounds as well in a crowd. Wow, OG's just, you can't really forget about him, right? But as you mentioned, when Fred and Pascal are at this level, like, yeah, unfortunately, OG does have to sort of take that third, that third role, but that's okay for him. He can really do well in that stretch, yeah.
And that third scorer role, like, we've seen that on Raptor teams before. That's usually where Norm and Serge would be in any of their lineups, where they're just like, they're highly efficient offensive players on in their own right, and they're basically being leveraged as the guy who gets it off the first pass. So like once the defense is already shifted, they're attacking a shifted defense. And that's where OG Anunoby is just going to be like a world destroyer. Like if he's attacking a moving defense already, or he's attacking a mismatch, mm-hmm. then at that point, like how are you supposed to guard him? His handle has gotten just tight enough where he can now attack off the dribble with ease. You're seeing him make these straight line moves like Serge would do straight to the rim. And it's like, well, if you're not strong enough to bump him off of that line, then it's an easy 2 points. And then him, shout out to OG also, because he's been pulling this out all season, but especially tonight, you know, Dirk Nowitzki had his jersey retirement with the Mavericks, and OG was like, all right, let me post up and do my little Dirk fadeaway in the middle of the paint.
Yeah, who taught him that, man? Because that person, like, you know, I feel like I should send him, like, buy him lunch or something virtual.
Knowing the way OG's legs work, I think it's just a reflex.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, no, I like the performance from OG. I think he played his role perfectly around those main guys. And then same thing with Gary, too, man. You know what I like about Gary is, like, look, he's not going to make every shot, but, like, he's willing to take them. Like, in a big moment, he's totally willing to take a big momentum shot. If the Raptors are down, they need one, he'll take one. If the Raptors are up and they're pushing ahead, he'll take one. Like, he's just not afraid of the moment. And, like, I mean, this is hard to quantify, but you can see it on the screen. Like, he, when the Raptors are really getting competitive, Gary will be one of he vibes with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is also going to get super competitive as well. I love the stretch in the third quarter there where he was just starting to strip Jrue Holiday, strip Khris Middleton, you know, the him driving to the basket, making plays, him making step back threes, him hitting a sidestep three along the baseline. I was like, he was doing everything.
I don't know who was keeping stats tonight, because Gary Trent Jr. has zero credited steals.
Unbelievable.
But like, I know for a fact that I saw him steal three possessions, mm-hmm. and like whether they call them deflections or turnovers or however they credited it, like Gary was all over, especially in that fourth quarter. Him and Fred were the ones that were just suffocating Khris Middleton. Like he basically said, I am Norm Powell.
Yo, nah, the Norm trade, Middleton, Norm's legacy continues, man. Every time Gary Trent plays Milwaukee, the Norm's legacy is going to continue, because, I mean, to be fair, like, I don't even know if Norm had this defensive element to go along with the rest of the offense, but you know what? Gary's getting enough love. I don't need to bring Norm's name into a specific.
The one thing I do love about Gary is, like, at the end of every game, people look at his percentages like, oh, like, he had a bad, low percentage shooting game this night or whatever. The thing with Gary is, it's like he's never having – like he, like whatever shot makes he have, 85 to 90% of those are tough shots that he made. Like he's legitimately a tough shot maker. Like that's the only shots he makes. And true. Like you need that type of guy in your offense who can just like junk it up and hit a mid-ranger. Mm-hmm. And he does that like time after time, and it works because he's not the number one option, right? And I also love, I think one of the things that, and it, you know, it's one of the silver linings that comes out. There's no real silver lining with injuries and COVID and stuff like that. But one of the silver linings of those few games where Gary and Pascal had to be basically the whole team was that they seemed to develop a two-man chemistry where it was that Gary and Pascal led hybrid bench unit at the beginning of the fourth that really opened that lead up, where they've developed a two-man game and a bit of two-man chemistry where they're actually able to basically get a bucket every single time. And that's fantastic. And that's kind of what you want to see as the team kind of grows together. I guess the last guy to talk about in the starting lineup, he didn't have the best of games, but I guess we can touch it real quickly.
Yeah.
It's a rookie moment with Scotty Barnes. Scotty had a rough one tonight.
Yeah. So 5 fouls, 6 points, 2 of 6, 0 for 2 from three. I mean, he made some nice plays, but I think there's a couple of passes that he was making there. I mean, this was during the stretch where the Raptors were, you know, turning it over quite a bit. I felt like the Bucks were very active defensively for stretches in this game until the Raptors just beat the life out of them. Not the greatest game for Scotty. I think, look, the Bucks really went to these zone looks that really worked in the first half. The Raptors kind of – they were hot offensively pretty much all game except for when they went to those zone looks, especially against the Raptors' second unit. And I just felt like that was a little bit advanced for what Scotty's going to be doing as a point guard at this level, especially considering there is no spacing, none when they're playing with these all forward lineups, man. There was one lineup where like Pascal was the go-to shooter, and it was like, yeah, you know, Yeah, Pascal can shoot and make some shots, yes, but that's not his role, you know?
Which is tough because, like, when a team's zoning up, Scottie's preferred role in that is, like, being in the middle of the floor, yeah. Right? Where he's taking those mid-range jumpers. He didn't really seem to have his touch tonight. He didn't really seem to have any bounce tonight. I think this is, like, the second or third time I've seen Scottie on the second night of a back-to-back where you can kind of sense that he's not, like, he's a little bit slow, whether he's jogging up the floor, just kind of lumbering around a little bit.
Mm.
So he did seem tired today at the minimum. He also, like, I think he had like a little hip thing at the very beginning of the game off of a rebound or something. And then after that, he kind of tailed off aggression wise, but hey, you know, it's a learning game. So it is what it is. And you know, you got to win games for him to win Rookie of the Year too. So
yeah, exactly.
As long as they win, you're good.
No, this is perfect. Cause you know, Fred already said he's in the Marc Gasol world. This is a Marc Gasol stat line, man. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, plus 4 in 38 minutes. This is a perfect Marc Gasol stat line. Yeah, you know, these games are bound to happen. I think these are all learning experiences for Scottie. In terms of the bench guys, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about these guys? I mean, Champagne, I feel like, is the guy to me that's standing out because of the fact that he's just playing his role perfectly. And yeah. I have no complaints at all about this dude. He's just coming in and finding his role.
No, I totally agree. Champagne, he's awesome. He just does the stuff that like we've been seeing from Summer League, where even in the Summer League games, he was rebounding like crazy.
Yep.
And I was like, how is this guy rebounding?
He's like 6'5".
Every rebound. And that's it. And it's like, it reminds me of Rondé always, but it's just like, he's just in the right spot all the time, just giving 100% energy. And at the end of the day, that's what you need. The Raptors have enough offensive talent with their 5 starters that they need the role players that do play off the bench. They just need to be defensively sound and give like 100% energy. Even if you're only going to play there, you're only going to play 10, 11 minutes a night, just go all out. Like play as if you're playing 48, right? And just like go 100%. And that's what Champagne does every single time. The points for him literally don't matter. Like, I don't care if he has 0 points, the amount of energy and just like the lack, like he's very defensively sound for his role.
Yeah.
He's not making many mistakes. And that's all you can really ask for out of your 8th, 9th guy. Right. So fantastic. The one thing I'm just going to quickly say about Scottie is, and I find it really funny, and he picked up a couple of turnovers this game because of it. Scottie does this thing where he sees a pass, but he's like, I'm going to make this pass, but hold up. I want to make it a no look. So he throws it like half a beat later than he would.
He's so silly, man.
He'll be throwing like a no look patch to Ken Burch from the top of the key to like the free throw line area. I'm like, why is that a no look? Bro, just throw the ball. I think he got caught. He threw a no look to the corner. He got picked off. And I was like, man, come on.
He enjoys basketball too much, man. It's the first time I'm ever going to say that about anybody. But no, you got to love Scottie, man. You really do. Between him and he just loves no looking, man, or looking back or slowing down in transition and looking back at dudes. Like, I don't know. He's a troll. He's a bit of a troll. It's all good, man. He's 20 years old. He's enjoying his life. He's, you know, a leading candidate for Rookie of the Year, and his team's above 500 right now. It's beautiful.
God, he's going to play fundamental basketball for like 23 seconds in the possession, and the last second, he's like, hoop mixtape. Ball is life.
Yo, I need a ball is life, but only of Scottie looking away. Not of the passes completing or the play ending, just him turning his head. This guy, yeah. It's amazing. All right, we've gone to the Snyder portion of the show, which is what people have tuned in for. I know people have been patient. They're being like, why are we getting real basketball analysis? That ends now, okay? Because I have a series of plays that I need to ask your expert opinion on, starting with Fred VanVleet getting up to block a 6'10" dude at the basket, at the rim. Like, I'm not even joking about at the rim. He was at the rim. So your thoughts on Fred VanVleet and his one. This is the first time I've seen from Fred where he's like the block was not a strip on a big man. He fully got up there and met him at the basket.
Well, I think they credited him a steal.
No, this is a block. I'm looking at one, man. This is a block.
Legitimately, like, yo, if once you get blocked by Fred VanVleet, I don't know, like, what do you do with it? Like, it's like it's not even like when Yao got blocked by Nate Robinson, because Nate Robinson, man,
come
like,
on, what, bro, what are you doing?
Nate Robinson is a jumper, right? Nate Robinson is a jumper, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, at least it's like there's some, like, you know, pretense to that. But you
I can't believe you bring that up on my show, man. I can't believe it, bro. I'm stunned.
Like, I love Fred as a defender, but one of the things that makes me crack up every time I see the Raptors when they're playing defense and the opponent is swinging the ball around and it becomes Fred's closeout to an open three is when Fred does his, like, mini Super Mario jump to go close out. And it's like, bro, what is this doing? This isn't doing anything. No one's seeing that hand. You're too small. And for him to get a block on Sandro Mamukelashvili, got to say his whole name because legitimately we're going to know his name because Fred VanVleet blocked him. NBA Top Shot this, Fred VanVleet block. I want that moment.
Well, that's going to be the first time Mamukelashvili's been on a Top Shot, man. Let's be real. No. Yeah, incredible play. I got to ask you about Chris Middleton as well. Just complaining the court. So we already talked about the turnovers and the dribbling. That's always very funny to see him do. The complaining, though, that he was doing over the course of the game, wanting every single call, even though he had hands on Pascal nonstop, two hands in his jersey, pushing him. They were giving him tons of respect. They were like, look, Giannis is out. You can't foul out, man. This is going to be a blowout. Like, people want to tune into games. We're going to need you to keep you on so you can do whatever you want. And him complaining, and then at the very end of the game, picking up a technical after he just airballed a layup. Yeah, I just need more thoughts on Chris Middleton's behavior because I just feels like he doesn't really know who he is to be complaining that much. It's disproportionate to his reputation.
I don't want to be mean, but this is the only thought that goes through my head whenever I see Chris Middleton complaining to a ref, just the face that he makes. You know that scene from Emperor's New Groove when Kuzco the Llama is crying in the rain because he's been left alone? That is the only thing that goes through my head when I see Chris Middleton.
Oh, man. Oh, nah, man. This guy looking at both refs at once. Anyway, what else is happening? So Bobby Portis needs to get some love here as well. Objectively hilarious game for him. Like, he was just in foul trouble all night, ends up fouling out. There's two plays I want to highlight. Number one, this is during the fourth, like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter were just so stressful, right? It's just like the last time the Raptors beat the Bucks without Giannis. The last 2 minutes were just so stressful. You know, Chris Middleton pump faking, jumping forward into guys, that being called fouls all nonstop, you know, out of bounds plays just given to the Bucks. No, you know, no concern of, you know, what reality truly is. And then the most egregious, though, out of all of them was the Raptors, I think, made a free throw, made it a 5-point game. Gary made a free throw. The Bucks come up the floor. They give the ball to the trailer, Bobby Portis. Pascal's in position to guard at the three-point line, taking away the threes. Bobby Portis puts his elbow through Pascal's neck. And it was a foul on Pascal, even though his hands were back as well.
Isn't that a technical foul? Elbowing somebody in the face is now a technical foul?
Oh.
Is what we learned this game?
That's another part where Chris got a free call for no reason. He stayed down for a while too, man. This guy,
Well, that's the problem. You see, Pascal, like, he's shown great growth, but the one thing Pascal needs to know is that when you get hit in the face in the NBA, you got to roll around on the ground until they go to the review monitor. It's one of the things that I think I've been seeing around the league is if a guy gets hit in the face, if you feel an elbow hit you,
stay down.
Anywhere above it, just stay down. Doesn't matter if you're okay or not, just stay down because then the refs are going to go check for a flagrant. And then you can get like a break or you can get the call reversed or whatever it might be. Mm. Almost every single time the call gets flipped. So that's one thing where I'm like, man, like someone's got to pull Pascal aside and be like, yo, don't play that hard. Just lie down, take a break, rest for a little bit.
No, should have, man. But no, he fully got elbowed in the neck by Bobby Portis. Bobby gets put on the free throw line. And then Bobby Portis misses the first free throw. And all you hear is, yes, sir, from Pascal. And you know, he wasn't even on the camera shot on the broadcast, but I just know that that was Pascal saying, yes, sir. And it was great, too, because Bobby Portis then fouled Pascal, or somebody fouled Pascal. He goes to the free throw line, and Pascal misses both free throws. And I'm pretty sure Bobby Portis then yelled, yes, sir, as well. So, you know, that, you know, all's fair in love and basketball. Another Bobby Portis play, though, with the last foul for his sixth foul of the game, he took a foul intentionally on OG Anunoby. And I swear, it looked like he was going to rip OG's arms off, man. I was like, yo, please stop doing this, man. Like, what is going on with this team? Why are they so invested in this specific game? And yeah, the crowd loves Bobby there. Obviously, you win a championship, you love everybody in that team. Is he supposed to be like their discount Serge Ibaka or something? You know what I'm saying? Like, because, well, again, that's like how he was moving.
One of the hallmark Bobby Portis stories is like when he was, I think, your second year player, was like the fact that Bobby Portis envisions players hitting his mom before, like, to get pumped up for a game.
He's like, no, this is not a joke.
He legit envisions his opponent, his matchup, slapping his mother so that way he can get worked up and pumped up to play the game.
No,
and that's why he plays with like almost like a blind rage, which is just wild, all around. Okay, so like that's just to understand Bobby Portis, like a piece to understand him. Mm. That said, as soon as the whistle blew, like the first two people that Bobby Portis shook hands with was Pascal and OG. So
yeah,
everybody seemed to be cool. So I don't think it was that big of a deal, but yeah, Bobby Portis. That's Bobby Portis. You know, that he's a high energy character.
Oh, you know who else is a high energy character? Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Yes, he didn't play in this game, but every time I watch the Bucks, I don't watch for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I watch for Thanasis, and the reason for that is this guy needs to be on the cheer team, not on the Bucks like basketball team, like on the actual like cheerleading team, because his energy just needs to be channeled in a way that the sport of basketball just doesn't fully account for. Because there was a play, I think, man, the Raptors were just like eating the clock. They were trying to just kill the clock, and like they'll take a turnover or whatever. But, you know, they took one late shot that was like a 4-point game, 30 seconds left. And I forget who came over to block. I think it was Bobby Portis, actually. Bobby Portis went up and blocked the thing, and he swatted into the second row. And all you see is Thanasis jumping off, being like, yeah, let's go. Like literally, like they won the championship again. And I was like, all that's going to happen here is the Raptors are going to inbound the ball, and you guys are going to foul. And that's it, man. I mean, like, it's a great play. It is a great play. But contextually, in terms of, like, affecting the result, wasn't going to be there. But I just love watching Thanasis. I love his energy. Love his hustle. Yeah, man. That's it. I just want to give my appreciation to Thanasis.
That, man, like, there's not – it's hard to slander the Bucks too, because, like
– because they won a championship?
Yeah, and like, also who played? That's also true. Right. They didn't win a championship. And also, like, who played? So it's a little bit rough. Like, it's not as fun, like, now that they've won a championship. I do say a shout out to Giannis. He's ashamed of the decision he made to stay in Milwaukee and is, you know, scared of facing Masai. So he's just skipped all the games against the Raptors since.
Yeah,
that's it is what it is. You know,
well, I mean, the last time he played the Raptors.
How are we supposed to prove otherwise? Like, he's clearly dodging Scotty, right? Like, he's terrified. He's scared of Scotty.
I think he's dodging Fred, man. The last time he played Fred, Fred dotted this man up and took him right to the basket for a layup. You know, Fred VanVleet is, I mean, yeah, I think, what did he say? His quote was, in my mind, we're all the same height. You know, and that's what he said when he blocked Mamish Kavili, and that's what he said when he got a layup over Giannis, man. I mean, yeah.
I will say, there's nothing funnier in that Bucks series than Giannis being unable to post up Fred VanVleet.
He could do nothing with it, man.
Fred just ripping the ball out of his hands. Like, no, you can't do anything on me.
Oh, it's actually incredible how strong Fred is. There was a play in the fourth quarter as well where Jrue Holiday was driving to the rim, and he was trying to split two defenders. He was driving into traffic, but he's strong as hell, so he's just able to split the two defenders anyway. And then he tried to go up, and then Fred was just with the he didn't even strip down. He just kept his hand out like perpendicular to his body, and just let Jrue Holiday rip through his hand and deflected it out of bounds. Like, you know, Fred's incredible, man.
Jrue Holiday had his 8 turnovers, so like whatever, slander, it's all good. But one of the cool things about
I'm terrified of this dude though.
Jrue and Fred had like a stretch of like 3 or 4 possessions back and forth where both of them were just frustrated at the other one stripping the ball from them. Yeah. Whereas like they're on a fast break and the ball gets stripped out of nowhere because they're both just stripping each other for the ball. It's incredible just like how quick both of their hands are and just how good they both are as defenders at the point of attack. And you could see them both becoming visibly frustrated with the other defensively, which is pretty cool to see.
No, they're just giving each other a taste of their own medicine. Like for real, like Jrue Holiday, his body positioning, and he forms like a cup around you. Like he's not only his arms, like, you know, he doesn't get really called for deflections. He's got good hands. He's not really fouling anyway. But then he's so rock solid. You can't move him whatsoever. So he just takes away half the floor from you at all times. And so if you notice in this game, Fred from the very start of the game was like, all right, so Jrue Holiday is going to pressure me at full court. Hey, listen, Pascal, you just make sure you stay back, man, because the inbound's going to go to you. Or if I'm going to catch the ball, I'm going to flip the ball to you because I'm not dealing with this all game. I need to save my legs so I can make these threes and make the All-Star game. So, Yeah, great effort by the Raptors. Great moments. Unfortunately for DeMarcus Cousins, you know, this was his last game with the Bucks. By the way, just I really dislike, you know, I mean, look, first off, I don't know if every single NBA sort of player team interaction needs to be turned into the bigger conversation around labor and sort of how disproportionately it in terms of the power it holds versus the capital that you know, the power that holds over them. But wow, what am I really saying? But in any case, DeMarcus Cousins, so he gets waived. Literally, like, I'm not even sure the game ended, but if it was just like, he was definitely at least in the locker room. Like, he's probably in the post-game huddle talking about, oh, what we're going to do for the next game. We're going to get him back or whatever. And then, boom, Shams tweets it out. And then John Horst, the exec for Milwaukee, goes to Adrian Wojnarowski for a statement. And he said, quote, he was so good for us and hopefully we helped him too. And I was like, what do you mean we helped him too, man? Like, what is this relationship? Like, he came to you because he had a lot of teams available, picked your team, played really well for the Bucks, as we just saw. And then you're like, oh, I'm so sorry we had to cut him, man. But, you know, hey, listen, we helped him raise his profile. The guy's DeMarcus Cousins. His profile is his profile. He raised his own profile because he's been a really good player, an all-star player. Unfortunately, he got hurt. He joins the team, and then afterwards you're going to cut him while he's literally in the locker room and say, hey, I hope we helped you too. I would love to see John Horst say that to DeMarcus Cousins in the face, man, because, you know, that's cold.
That is wild. I'm guessing DeMarcus probably has another contract lined up somewhere, so it's probably not going to be much of an issue, but it's wild. But again, like, the Bucks are a clown organization. They got lucky that they, you know, Giannis had his first milkshake in Milwaukee, and, you know, they're just living off of that for, you know, that's what they're going to live off of for the next 3, 4, or 5 years or whatever until, you know, Giannis asks for a trade. So it is what it is. And you kind of got to live with it. I will say, though, DeMarcus Cousins, like, I'm assuming he goes out an award winner tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. We got to add that to the resume because now he's going to be in the free agency pool again. So, you know, if he goes to a team and says, hey, I was just named Gerald Henderson award winner, that's got to help. So let's do the awards backwards. Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins, your Gerald Henderson award winner. 15 points in 20 minutes off the bench, 5 of 8 shooting, 2 of 3 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, a block as well, plus 9, at least 5 stink faces as well. You know, this guy, he's got a really good stink face, man. I you know, when he trucks Chris Boucher and then he hits you with the stink face, I'm like, damn. I feel personally aggrieved, even though I had nothing to do with this situation. But he was great, and we'll see where he lands. I'll give you the first star, man, for the Raptors. Who you got?
It's gotta be Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
You go 33 points, you know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block, 13 of 23 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. You could just keep going on and on and on. Like today was just a stat stuff game. Pascal was incredible all around. Played 42 minutes on the second night of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Like, just incredible. But that's how important he was tonight. He was just a one-man wrecking crew. And, you know, you got to pad the stats when you got it. Hashtag NBA All-Star. You know, go out and vote. Make sure you get this stuff in. Pascal Siakam, first star, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, the second star, you know what? I'm going to give it to Gary, man. I don't know if he was the second best Raptor for the team. I think probably that was Fred, but man, Gary just played his role beautifully. You know, he stepped up with the intensity defensively as well. 22 points, 8 of 17 shooting. As you mentioned, a lot of tough situations where they needed a basket and Gary was just a guy giving it to them, getting on the offensive glass as well, which is very rare for him. No steals, but as you mentioned, was, you know, had a hand in many, many deflections and was causing, you know, turnovers that may not necessarily be counted as steals, but they're still having the same effect. So he was great. And yeah, man, again, you just got to keep Norm's legacy alive because I think people have been pretty happy with Gary just overall this season. But, you know, the one element that the special element that he used to give was the fact that he would always feast on the Bucks, and Gary said, I can do that too. So your third star.
Third star, you know what? I'm just going to go off the board and I'm just going to give it to Justin Champagny.
Oh,
straight okay. up. Because here's the thing. He played 11 minutes, played in the second half, but his minutes, like he in the same way that early in the season, Delano was changing the pace of games with his offense. Justin Champagny does that defensively with the energy he brings. Mm. Played 11 minutes, got 6 quick points, 2 rebounds, an assist, a steal. And most importantly, he was, what, plus 16 for the game, team leader. And it showed, like, that's what he brought to the vote. The energy he brought changed kind of got the Raptors sped up, got them, you know, cranked up the aggression there. And I think he was, for whatever it's worth, he was a difference maker in the minutes he was out there. So I'm going to give it to him just to give him some credit.
All right. No, I love it, man. Champagne deserves that credit, and he's been playing well. So, Asad, I appreciate you. Appreciate your time. You know, is there any accounting advice you want to leave us with? Anything else you want to leave us with?
Man, not much right now. I'll be honest. I hope everybody had a good holidays, wrestle teeth, and just hoping for good health for the Raptors moving forward. And hopefully we get to do a lot more of these in the next couple of coming days. We got some big teams heading up.
Listen,
and,
man,
you know, clear your schedule. Beat them by enough.
Clear your schedule. I'm just telling you right now, man. Clear your schedule. All right. The Raptors are the only good thing happening in Ontario of late. So we need these, man. I don't want to sound like Matt Devlin, but we need these. So I appreciate you, Asad, as always. Thanks for your time. Follow Asad on Twitter at SwarLasers. Do you want people to follow IG or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Just Twitter's good then. Yeah,
I don't post on IG, bro.
Yeah, same for me, actually. So, yeah, that does it for the Reaction Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can find all episodes of The Raptors Show wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you listen to The Raptors Show also daily between 2 and 3 p.m. I'm going to be breaking down this game with Alex tomorrow on the show. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and I'll be back after the next game.